Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
Praise you, Lord. As we're worshiping, the Lord just showed me that His word and His promises are like a closet of garments. And you know what He said to me? He said, you got to pull down those garments and you got to put those things on. If you want my promise, if you want my blessing, you got to reach out and say, God, I'm going to take that thing that you say, that I read about, that you say in your scripture, and I'm going to pull it down off of that hook. And Lord, I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear that righteousness. I'm going to wear that blessing. I'm going to wear that favor. Can we reach out to the Lord right now? I believe so much the Lord wants to remind you of every promise that He has for you. Every blessing that He has for you. Everything that you've been waiting for that's in the balance of your life that you know God has for you. And pull that thing right down. Say, God, I accept your favor, Lord. I accept your blessing, Father God. I accept your promises, Lord. Lord, I agree with you, Father. And now I decide to walk in that thing, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Do you not know, says the Lord, that every great miracle, that every great healing, that every great breakthrough, that every great provision happened on a day just like today? Did you know that the power that you read about that was manifested in the book of Acts is the same power that is in you? The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. You have the power. You have the authority. I have given it to you to tread upon scorpions and upon serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And the devil tells you the lie that that was for the Bible days, that was for other times and other people. But I announce to you, says the Lord, that power is resident in you. Stir up the gift that is in you. Stir up your faith. Begin now to have a vision that you can do all things, that you can be what I say you can be and do what I say you can do, and that won't be by your strength or your wisdom or your courage, but it'll be by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in you. Hallelujah!
Come on, give the Lord a shout.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Good morning, Gateway. Let me just jump in here for a minute and send you all some love. As you can see, Kathy and I are not with you today. We're taking an early summer vacation, but we're going to be back on Sunday, June 8th. And it's going to be an incredible summer of great times in God's presence. Speaking of great times, we're having a blast with our Game Changer series. Check out now these special Game Changer tweets from our team, and be sure to follow us this summer on Facebook and Twitter. That was awesome. All of us are having a lot of fun serving you together and coming up with these tweets. Now, I'm so happy that Pastor Sam Beckworth is going to be sharing the message this morning. Pastor Sam and his wife, Pastor Kim, are a part of our Gateway family. They lead the Faith Summit Church over in Clovis, California. Both Sam and Kim minister with humor and with the fire of the Holy Spirit. They are fantastic people. I just love them, and you're going to be blessed today for sure. And Gateway, I love you. You are always in our hearts. Now, please welcome our special guests, Pastors Sam and Kim Beckwith.
Amen, and thank you very much. Thank you. You guys are so kind. I teased the first service. As soon as I saw Pastor David in the Giants uniform, I had a little bit of a trigger, a little twitch that went off inside of me as a Dodgers fan. You still love me? Got to keep loving me? Pastor Mike and I were lights in a dark place there in Southern California. That's not West LA, okay? That's Glendale, East LA area. And so anyhow, congratulations on your 2010 World Series. Giants, right? Are there any A's fans that are out there? Okay. 2012 World Series, you guys are still working on your Super Bowl win. I think you're on your way. So anyhow, thank you for letting us be here this morning. I want to get into the Word in just a moment. I wanted to ask a favor. I didn't mention this in the first service, but one of the things that we have been up to, and we're kind of watching it unfold, we are keeping our pastors, David and Kathy Canestraci, kind of up to date with the things that are taking place, is that we have been, as a result of the book that we wrote on sexual integrity for young adults, some doors are opening up. We have a very busy summer. We're going to be doing what we call integrity encounters. They're either 35 minutes or three-hour sessions with young adults, either high school or college age, where we're just challenging them, adding value to them concerning these very important topics. But you can't go to that high place concerning things like that without any opposition, if you know what I'm talking about. And so doors are opening. We're going to be at Hume Lake, which is about an hour and 20 minutes from where we live, weekly throughout the summer, representing about 25 churches a week or there, about 1,000 kids per week for about 10 weeks. That is a door that the Lord is wanting us to walk through. We have at several different schools that were on campus there, and a door open also to go to Africa in October. And Pastor David said, I just want to let you know, Africa is not a vacation, Sam. So I get that, but we're going to Masindi, Uganda, and there's a lot of political situations that go on there. They have a president, they have several that are on their cabinet that are highly committed in their young adults for abstinence until marriage. They've actually legalized, and they're working actually on legalizing marriage being between a man and a woman. And so we in the United States send them money. So our government has not been real happy with the president of that nation. And there's a lot that's going on there. So through Lee Grady, a friend of Gateway, a friend of Faith Summit Church, we have met a pastor that's out there that has some really special things going on there in their church and in that area. So that door is opened up. And we're asking if you would just partner along with us as our covering church, as our parent church in prayer. Amen? Does that sound fair? Okay, good. That's all I wanted to say about that.
Good morning. We had just did a Fresno Christian chapel for the boys and the girls, or the guys and the gals, and I had about 100 and 150, and he had 100 and 150 boys. And I'm still shocked, even in the Christian schools, that they don't talk about these things. And so we were sharing about sexual integrity, and I had girls coming up to me sobbing, going, I don't understand why nobody talks to us about this. And this isn't a Christian school. So we're here to go in and get into these schools, get into these programs. We want to change the programs. We need prayer. Okay? And make it they have to do this. It's mandatory. They have to take all these other things they're not going to even use, but they don't want to talk about this. And these were well-dressed girls. It's a Christian school. And they came up, I don't understand why we don't talk about these things. Yeah. Why doesn't my mom and dad, why doesn't anybody come in here and talk to us about this? So we want to go in, get in the Christian schools, get in the public schools, and share. What do you do? There is so much ignorance. There's so much ignorance. So we want to train them, teach them, and just get in there. So that's our heart. We love young people. And that's just part of what we're supposed to do. So I just wanted to share that. We need prayer partners if we're supposed to do this. Yeah. So Amen. We love you guys.
We appreciate it. Amen. Love you. I didn't feel impressed in the first service to share that, but I just felt an urging there before the second service. So thank you so much for loving us, for praying for us. We appreciate it. And are you ready for a game changer this morning? Amen. God is good. We're going to pray in just a second. You've been in a series entitled Game Changers, and Pastor David has described a game changer, and I love this phrase, a simple truth that can bring a huge shift into our lives. And you've spoken about unity, about desperate prayer, and about the power of the Holy Spirit. Game changers indeed, amen? Amen. And I think you've been blessed by this series so far. Today we're going to talk about the game changer of experiencing a win. Some here this morning are extremely overdue for a win, for a big fat W, for a victory, and for a breakthrough. experiencing a win is without a doubt a massive transforming experience in our lives. And God has these things in store for us, not later. Now, the Bible says, is the Lord's appointed time for us today. Sometimes today makes us nervous. We tend to push things off into the future. We're thinking vision. We're thinking one day. We're thinking our season is coming. However, I believe that the impression of the Holy Spirit is that many here today, you've gone through challenges and trials. They haven't been without their pain. They haven't been without their disappointment, and they've not been without their delay. But I sense a prompting of the Holy Spirit in my heart that He has some very present wins and breakthroughs and answered prayers for you that are here today. Amen?
Amen.
More than just a good message, more than just something written in Scripture, but an impression of the Holy Spirit, something that He wants to do and bring to pass today. So we're going to partner with Him and say, let it be unto us according to His word. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray real quick. Father, thank You for this time. Lord, we just give You praise. How You love Your people. Your people are Your portion, Lord. The work of Your hands, Your very delight. And Lord, as we through praise and worship and Pastor Nicole led us to spotlight and highlight You and to lift You up, King Jesus, You also then spotlight and highlight and bless. And Lord, put that magnifying glass of blessing upon Your people. Let it be done today. Be glorified. Will You also bless our pastors today? Would You bless Pastors David and Kathy Canastracy as they enjoy time together, as they vacation, Lord God? We pray their downtime would be so spiritual, so holy, so enjoyable, a lot of laughter, a lot of rest, a lot of good food, Lord God, a lot of connecting, Lord. Keep them from supernatural distractions, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. If you agree, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right, you ready today? We're going to talk about a guy named David. His homeland of Israel was in a major slump against the nation of the Philistines. And there was a loudmouth champion named Goliath. And he was taken out by David in a showdown that lasted all of about 2 minutes. And it left Goliath with a headache and he couldn't feel his toes very well. And this particular win, as we'll describe it, sent shockwaves through both nations and beyond and is still bearing exponential fruit today. We're talking about this story today. Amen? I'm going to read in a moment out of 1 Samuel chapter 17, this famous chapter that's pitting this champion Goliath against this shepherd, this man after God's own heart named David. And I'm going to read most of this chapter. It's a bit lengthy, so I'm going to ask for your patience. And I pray you're blessed with such a wonderful environment here at Gateway. The presence of God here, it is very tangible. It is something that can be felt and appropriated. Amen. In His presence, there are benefits. There's fullness of joy. And you're in that kind of environment here. And so I'm asking, in this environment, would you allow yourself, your person, your circumstances, your life, to just slide right on in to this testimony in Scripture, in this passage? And I pray the Holy Spirit would cause the passages to come alive inside of you and that your own spirit would bear witness with the Holy Spirit in these passages that says, hey, I'm in there. Amen? Does that sound fair? Amen. All right, let's read out of 1 Samuel chapter 17 and we'll get started. Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. So there's the setup. And a champion, would you repeat after me, a champion?
Champion.
One more time. Went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was nearly 9 feet 9 inches. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of that bronze helmet. He had to get big traps just from the helmet alone. Just thought I'd throw that in there. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 125 pounds. I said in the first service, I don't know that I can squat 125 pounds anymore, but this guy was doing these calf raises with 125 pounds on his body in addition to his 700-pound frame or whatever he weighed. Now, the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 1,500 pounds. And in addition to that, a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Choose a man. You hear that, guys? Choose a man if you have one. that ought to fire you up a little bit. I don't like the tone of this champion's voice. Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, we'll be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said these key words, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem. I love the sound of that. That Ephrathite of Bethlehem. There was a distinction because going up a little bit, he was related to a guy named Boaz. I like the sound of that. So when the writer of this particular book said that Ephrathite, that's the that he's talking to. That Ephrathite. Oh, that one. The son of Jesse, who had 8 sons. The 3 oldest of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. David was the youngest, and he occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Saul was vexed by a demonic tormenting spirit that nearly drove him insane. And Abner, the commander of Saul's army, heard of a young man named David, probably by the Holy Spirit, that could play the harp, manifest the presence of God. So they brought him over from Jesse's house. They brought him over to where Saul was dwelling at the time, not quite yet in Jerusalem. It hadn't been taken yet. And David would play the harp. And Saul, because of the presence of God, because of worship, because of that beautiful stringed instrument, Saul would be delivered from that tormenting spirit. And the presence of God again would refresh Saul and cause him to be in a sound and in a right mind again. We have the advantage of the presence of God.
Amen.
Amen. So at the time, David wasn't with Saul. David went back over to Bethlehem to take care of his father's sheep, that Ephrathite. So the oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to battle. David occasionally went and returned to Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brother some food and see how they're doing. Bring back news of them. So David arose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as his dad Jesse commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up again in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion. David is seeing this now for the first time. Prior 40 days, he was at home in Bethlehem. There was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. Say that with me. So David heard them. Say it again. David heard them. It's significant. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man fled from him, were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who's come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And they're telling David, and it shall be the man who kills him. The king will make him wealthy with great riches, give him his good-looking daughter as wife, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Are you here today? Yeah. David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, come again. What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why do you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? I love how the Holy Spirit intentionally put in this family conflict right here. I don't like the family conflict, but I'm glad the Lord put it in there. Think it not strange, okay? Concerning any trial you're going with family conflict, it's right here. David's like, what now? You still mad because Samuel anointed me king and you're there just chilling out? Oh, I see what this is about. Okay. So David's, what? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him, said, I'd have enough. And he went toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now the words which David spoke were heard. They were reported to Saul, and Saul sent for David. David said to Saul, let no man's hearts fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth. Did you hear that, young people? Did you hear that, parents of young people? You're a youth. You can't fight against him. He's a man of war from his youth. David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took the lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, your outline, I think, calls him a Philistine pig, will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who's delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Amen. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. He took his staff in his hand. He chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and a sling was in his hand. He drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came, began drawing near to David. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. When I read this, I think about the forefathers prior, the Abimelechs of old, the fathers of the Philistines that came in contact with an old guy named Abram. And God said to him, I will bless the nations that bless you, and I'll curse the nations that curse you. And this Philistine so-called champion was trying to curse the offspring of Abraham. Not good. God's with a small g. Talk all you want. I love it. David said, David had a response. Well, you know, he had a response, spoke some words back to him. You come to me, David said, with a sword, spear, and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, by the way, which you've defied. This day, everybody say with me, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'll strike you and take your head from you. And this day, say with me, this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. Let's be encouraged by that. Be reminded of that. He'll give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank in his forehead. And Philistine said, oh my gosh, I'm just kidding. And he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath and killed him. And he cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. You like how that rhymes? Now the men of Israel and Judah arose. They shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road, even as far as Gath. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but put his armor in his tent. Can you say amen to that and give God a hand clap of praise that he's included that in the scriptures? Awesome. You're in there. That same spirit there is in you. I want to say this morning something that I think would resonate during this message today is that sometimes you just flat out need a win. I'm all for having done all to stand, stand therefore. And I'm serious about that. We're to live steady. We're to live steadfast. We're to live with patience and perseverance and godly contentment. Your joy is not going to come when your breakthrough comes. The Lord is your portion. He is your exceeding great reward. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our chief joy. And we live that way. Amen? Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. The just live by what? Faith. We're going to love God even if our breakthrough never comes. We endure hardness as a good soldier. But bless God, every now and then, you have to connect with your bat at the plate and take this ball deep over the right field fence into McCovey Cove. Sometimes you just need a win. I mean, win it for the Gipper. Win it for your retiring coach because you love him. Win it because it's your senior year and you'll never be in that spot again. But let's win. I don't mean a faith win. I don't mean a faith promise, a victorious scripture. I mean flat out, high fly ball, feeling the bat, going deep. Your opposing fans are moaning. Your fans are cheering. Your cleats and spikes are kicking up the dirt. Slow motion. And Whitney Houston is singing One Moment in Time. And you're surrounding second base like Kirk Gibson. And your teammates are going nuts. And this can happen even while you're injured. Kirk Gibson was injured all over the place in 88 and took it off of the best closer, arguably all time, Dennis Eckersley, Dodgers ace. Hey, number three, ESPN sports moment, the last 100 years. I'm talking it transcends a Dodger fan. I'm telling you, it moves right in to something very important. You're not gonna have to wait until you're perfect, until your breakthrough comes. David said, this day, I'm gonna take your head off. You know, and we're way overdue. Breakthrough, answered prayer, victory, when we're way overdue for a win, have you noticed it can start to mess with your head a little bit? Prolonged trials can take it out of you. Constant pressure can leave us with a yucky hangover of cynicism. Hope deferred makes the heart, what? Sick. And when this happens, our lens can get foggy and our spiritual sight can start getting impaired. It's disillusioning, and you can feel like you're in a desert, you're wandering around spiritually, and the mirages start coming up, you know, and you start spiritually hallucinating. This is not a time to come up with a new doctrine. Reinvent yourself. Disconnect from very important God connections. It's not a time to make sweeping generalizations about life and decisions for your future. It is time to stand. You might feel sick, your heart may be hurting, but nevertheless, it's time to continue to stand and keep doing the last thing God told you to do. But this is where our confidence can be shaken. We can begin to second guess ourselves. Identity and purpose challenged to the core. We can begin to battle a measure of resentment against the Lord and people. Are you guys here this morning? Yes. Ultimately, I believe that the enemy is pressing the people of God with what would seem to be endless drought in order to undermine the goodness of God in our eyes. We must always believe that God is good and that God is good to us. We must never be disconnected from this truth, the Lord's manifested nature, that I may not feel like I'm experiencing any measure of breakthrough. It may look like ain't nothing happening, but it doesn't change him. He is still good and he still loves me. He still likes me and he's still for me. And I'm going to bless him with everything that is within me. And you know, you can do that with all kinds of funky stuff going on up here. Jesus said, just don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things he said will be done. I mean, we got to take every thought captive. We get it. But I'm telling you, this is some serious business here that we're talking about. And this is where the enemy wants to jade us and, again, make us cynical. And this is where we can come up with all kinds of weird stuff. John came in the spirit of Elijah. I got a revelation today. I came in the spirit of Job. Yes. And I'm identifying with all of his misguided, unbiblical conclusions. God takes this from me and he takes that, and God's hand is heavy against me, yet I'll praise him. Even though he'd strike me and beat me and dismember my toes, he's still good. No, he's not striking you and beating you. He's not taking your toes off.
Right. Come on now. That's it.
I'm a ring bearer. To be a ring bearer is to be alone, and so I have no friends. That's my lot in life. I'm a lone prophet, so I go off into the mountain and everybody else gets to enjoy life, but I'm a peculiar son or daughter of God. You're peculiar, but not in that way. We're all in the family of God together. There's nothing pretty or easy about these kinds of times. So we don't have to try to lie and say that it is. Repeated loss can gray our perspective, contaminate our faith. Losing can condition us to lose. Losing, I mean, one thing after another and after another. And my battery died, I just had to get new tires and then this. And my freshman year, I played baseball the time I was 7 all the way through high school and then into college. My freshman year, we had a great, great team, great junior college. College of the Sequoias in Visalia, we were the Giants. We were the Giants. Some of you don't know what I'm going to say next. That's why you're not clapping or anything. The big redwood trees, that was kind of the deal. Well, we had a great team. All of us were freshmen. We didn't have any guys that were coming back. Well, I mean, we were pumped. I mean, we thought this is going to be great. The first game, we broke the record for losses. We were 6-30. We broke the record. I'm real proud to be identified with that particular year. But something happened in game one of that year. Our first game of the season, we had a pitcher, real about 6'7" guy. His brother played pro ball. The guy just was throwing gas. He was in his low 90s. His slider, I mean, it was amazing. Scouts were watching him his freshman year in junior college. He shut them out the first 8 innings. They couldn't touch him. We were winning 2-0 going into the ninth. This is how we're going to start our year. I mean, the confidence is flowing. We're ready to go. Our coach, I don't know why, he just thought, well, in the ninth inning, you take your starter out and you put in a reliever. So put in a reliever, a guy I went to high school with, and I'm going, I don't think this is going to work. They score 3 runs immediately. They win the game 3-2. Our pitcher was sick. He was so angry at our coach. This guy was throwing better in the eighth inning than he was in the first inning. Our whole team, we were just disoriented, frustrated. I mean, it got in us. And for some reason, it set the tone for the remainder of that year. How many know real champions? You got to overcome tough losses. Amen. You do. I mean, you just have to. Well, we didn't. But that losing got inside of us. And it's as if we were fighting against buddying up to this humiliating one loss after another loss after another loss. I pitched one game. I went 9 innings. I gave up 3 earned runs in 9 innings. That's pretty good. But they scored 15 because 12 of them were unearned. I mean, ground balls every game through. Like, what is up? That loss and losing can condition us that way, and we can just kind of get used to it. We can almost begin to laugh at it, but it isn't funny because you weren't born to lose. Amen. You weren't created to lose. You are equipped to win big. Amen. So good thought is this. Here we are, a bunch of giant killers. But sometimes we can see ourselves as grasshoppers and we're eating ants for breakfast instead of a lion and a bear. And here's what I see. Guys, we should come in after hunting today for our family and grab that dead carcass of a bear with our bare hand and throw it up on the dinner table. Boom! And the forks and knives are shooting up. And the Dr. Pepper's just going like this. And your wife turns around and says, honey, did you catch dinner? Yes, wife of my youth. And you scratch your hairy chest. And the kids say, Daddy, are you home already? Yes, children of my loins. Would you like some bear thigh with sautéed onions or some toes with barbecue sauce? Both, Daddy. How did you kill the bear this time? Was it a sword, slingshot? What did you do, Dad? No, daughters of your mother, that was weeks prior. Today I simply spoke and I commanded the bear to drop dead at my feet. For the Lord our God gave us dominion. And he said the fear of you and the dread of you will be on every beast of the earth, every bird of the air, every fish of the sea. They're given into your hand. I've given you all things. So Mackenzie and Taylor, daughters of Samuel, son of Joseph, I told the bear to drop dead. And while you're at it, drag your dead carcass in the back of my Ford F-350 and watch your stinking claws, because it's brand new 2015. Rise and eat, my family. Rise and eat. That's right. See, losing may condition us to lose, but one legitimate win and victory can turn things around in a moment. Clean up a lot of mess and turn us into carnivorous meat eaters all over again. Okay. Because winning gets in you. Yes. It's like one man's sin defiled mankind until Jesus came. Yes. One righteous act brought righteousness to many. you know, sin, grace abounds, right? Much more abounds where sin once abounded. We're not going to play small ball anymore. Losing conditions us to lose, winning conditions us to win. It sure does. How many ever seen Lambert the Sheepish Lion, the old Disney video? Raise your hand and wave it in the air like you don't care. What is going on in Silicon Valley? Are you guys too bright for the 1950s Disney? He snapped on the inside and became that lion God made him to be. Tore up that wolf trying to take his mom. Don't ever try to take my mom. How many know that Frodo was changed as he walked through the Shire headed up to fires of Mount Doom? Bilbo was changed by his journey to the Lonely Mountain. David was changed by his victory as well. You guys still here? You guys ever sin and go to the movies? Okay. No more small ball. No more small ball. Our destiny is not, I get to go to Monterey twice a year and get a carrot raisin muffin from Mimi's every Saturday. Think bigger. Dream bigger. God is dreaming big inside of you. He really is. And as we'll find today, he has his purposes at stake in your win as well. He does. Amen. Let's talk about four quickly. Transforming principles about experiencing a win. A win, your win is not isolated. It doesn't happen in a corner. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. This win is transforming. David said this, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." A win transforms the winner. A win transforms the winner. David's win over the lion and the bear changed him. And it was evident in his righteous anger against the words of Goliath. And it was evident in his determination to silence him. We have to take this reproach off of Israel. He is also defying the name of the Lord of hosts. David was not like the rest of the army of Israel. They were in dread. They were terrified. They were running away because they were not transformed. They were not changed because they had not won. They had not won. David had won against the lion and the bear. So he was not like them. His win transformed him. You know, David had Goliath's head long before he ever faced him. Goliath was a dead man long before Goliath died. The moment David defeated the lion and the bear, and the moment David heard the words of Goliath, David had his head in his hand. It was done because he was changed and he was transformed. That's because winning is a game changer. Winning is a game changer. You're going to step up to the plate and do some great things for God, and something's going to change inside of you. And you're going to go, ah, this is how it ought to be. You're going to give God all the glory. You're going to know it was a work of the Holy Spirit, not by your own might or the work of your hands, but you're going to know that something on the inside of you has changed and you'll never go back. You'll grow intolerant of certain things because you know, I've already tasted and seen in my life that God is good. Some of us here, I've grew up in poverty. And when people say God isn't good, you never know if he'll supply stuff. I'm like, I'm sorry. My great goal in life, I wanted to own a car when I got older that closed in a solid. You close the door and it's solid. Instead of, that was prosperity to me. I wanted, first of all, have car insurance. Not put $4 every time you go to the gas tank because you don't have any more than that. That's what I grew up with. And you go, I wanted the door. I talked with my older brother. We wanted to be able to close a car door which sounded solid when it closed. I wanted to eat General Mills Cocoa Puffs instead of Malto Meal Cocoa Blasts. That was prosperity. So when people tell me, well, I'm like, no, I'm sorry. God's a good God. God loves to bless his people. He'll leave you squirming in the fire at times, but oh well. Don't change his goodness. You won't be the same either. A win transforms others. Say that with me. A win transforms others. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel, of Judah, and Judah arose, shouted, and pursued the Philistines. Two groups of people here were obviously changed. The first is the Philistines. They were once bold, arrogant, intimidating, and cocky. And now, after David's slingshot makeover reality show, they're terrified, they're shocked, and they're running for their lives. And many of them lost their lives. The Israelites were changed. They were completely in fear before, but now because of David's win, they arose. They were sitting back. Now they're rising to the occasion. They're shouting with a voice of triumph, and they're pursuing when they were first running away. A win transforms others. So while their champion lay dead, and profusely bled, and the Philistine army fled, trying to hide under a bed. The Israelites sped, not slow like on a moped or hiding under a bed, but on nails they fed until the most of the Philistine army was what? Dead! Goliath wasn't picking a fight with an individual. He was picking a fight against a people, a favored people of God at that. He was a champion. He represented headship. He represented a measure of authority. He was a strong man. That's why he said, don't even bother sending your army out. I represent as a champion of this nation, the nation itself. So he wasn't picking a fight just against a single individual, was he? So it is with you. The battles you're facing, they're strategically ranged against you with others in mind as well. Others are at stake in your world. The devil is not just attacking you. He's threatening your family, your neighbors, your company, your church, and your city. Another thought, others are waiting for your win. Others need you to win. Others need their hope to be resurrected again because they're overwhelmed. They can't take it anymore. They lost. They fell where you're still standing. Don't get overly angry with people in your life that aren't pulling their weight, because I'll tell you now, you don't have to even tell people in the prayer line, there's people in your life that aren't pulling their weight. You're reading the Bible more, you're fasting more, you're the one tithing, you're the one faithful, and they're sitting around quoting the scripture. David absorbed his family's persecution. Even Eliab is talking trash against this man. I know your pride. Can you imagine that mischaracterization of that guy? I know your pride. Can you imagine David's over here writing psalms in the wilderness with the sheep being faithful? I mean, and he's saying, I know your pride. Don't say amen and don't call your sibling later on today. But I'm telling you, it happens all the time in the body. The devil will see to it. But you know what? Eliab and all of Israel and Judah, they needed David to take it out of the park. And there's people in your world. Don't be angry with them. You can be agitated, but don't cut them out of your life. Because later on, after you win and win and win again, they're going to be key people in your life. David saw, read your Bible. David had these men that came to him in debt, distressed, discontented. They came to him in the cave of Adullam. And they became his mighty men, transformed men, because they saw a man after God's heart go through repeated trials, but experience repeated victories and wins over and over and over again. And these guys' names are pinned forever in the scriptures. They were changed. They were transformed. There's people in your life. They're waiting for you to win. So win it, baby. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall offend. Don't be offended. Keep on moving. Eliab wasn't talking trash later. His own sons and the nephews of David said, you're not my uncle, you're my anointed king. What can I do? And these cats were taking off Goliath's siblings and sons and nephews later on, these giants, finishing them off because of what David did. Others are waiting to be changed also. A win transforms the spiritual environment. You see the passage. The Lord will deliver you into my hand that all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. Quite simply, David's win brought God glory in the earth. Your win and your victories, they're not isolated. They're a manifestation of the glory of God, a manifestation of heaven. You're manifesting heaven. Somehow you're partnering together with the Lord to do something great in the earth. And don't belittle things or allow things to be despised in your eyes that may appear to be small. Any testimony, anything that gives him praise, God could use in such an awesome and such a mighty way. God is still looking to transform the earth by his glory. He told Moses, as I live, I'm swearing to you, Moses, this earth will be filled with the knowledge of my glory. And the church, you're the hinge point. You're the swing state. You're the individual member. You are bringing heaven into the earth. We're God's delivery system. And it matters that we win. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Lastly, a win transforms your resources. How many know that after chasing the Philistines, they didn't go back home to say, thank God, I'm so tired of them. Whew, I'm glad I'm not afraid anymore. No, they plundered their tents. David said, what do I get if I kill him? Stuff. That's what he got. His main passion, get this reproach, this Philistine pig, take his head out, and let's feed the wolves and the birds of the air with his flesh. But what do we get? No taxes and a bunch of money. Oh, and the king's hot daughter. That's all other thing you get right there. What happens when the strong man is bound? Come on. The spoils are divided. That's the words of Jesus. Spoils, reward, 9 times out of 10. Look through the Old Testament pattern. I mean, Jehoshaphat, I mean, he had to do anything but praise the Lord. And they spent 3 to 4 days bringing in the spoils for war.
Yes.
And you know, one thing to note, you notice that the Israelites and Judah drove the Philistines back to Ekron and to Gath. They basically drove them back to their own cities. They were encamping and encroaching upon the territory of God's people. They're probably just taking back what already belonged to them anyways. Just thought I'd share that one. You're right there. Getting ready to close. Don't just be relieved the pressure has ceased. Let the Spirit of God rise up in you. Pastor Mike prophetically spoke on this when he came up. We need to open up that closet and we need to put on the cloak, to put on the coat, to put on the clothes of salvation, a blessing of God's glory in the earth. Take the plunder.
Yes. Yes.
You know that other 1 times out of 10 where God says, don't touch ye? He said, don't touch ye. That's called the tithe. 9 times out of 10, the first 10, Jericho may as well said tithe all over it. Don't touch it. It's mine. Old Naaman went down to the river to dip, and when Naaman came up, he had clothes, he had garments, he had gold to give over to Elisha the prophet. And he said, it's not time for that right now. Enjoy your blessing. Go back and give God glory. And it did give God glory because Naaman said, I want to tell you real quick, I'm really sorry, but when I go back, I have a pagan king and a pagan nation, and he makes me bow down and worship, but I want you to know that when I worship that false god, I don't mean it in my heart. He said, you're okay, don't worry about it. But the next time, the next miracle came, God said, it's all yours, brother. Enjoy. Take the plunder. Say, I receive the plunder.
I receive the plunder.
Oh, come on now, guys. Don't get shy. You know you want a 5-day trip to Disneyland and stay in Grand California Hotel. Can you do that while you're growing in the Dave Ramsey course? Yes, God can overtake you with his goodness. Something in the natural thing, and by the time, I'll be 98 by the time I can go to Disneyland if I follow this. And we went through the Dave Ramsey course. I'm with you. God can bless you while you're a work in progress.
Yes.
I think it's in our weakness. His power shows itself most effective.
Yes.
All right. Amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet? We're going to pray right now.
Yes.
I believe that this win game changer is yours tomorrow or today. This win game changer is yours today. I would hear again that prophetic word from Apostle C as well. This is the environment that we get to live in. It is to our advantage that we have the Holy Spirit. We are not the underdog. We live under that open heaven. By his grace, we do. And this win is ours today. David said in verse 46 in the New Living, today the Lord will conquer you. Today the Lord will conquer you. You're due. Let's expect the unexpected. Let's dream bigger than ourselves. Let's enter in. Let's lay hold. Let's say it's true unto us according to the word of God. I want to pray for you in a moment. We're going to pray this prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the environment of heaven that's here in this place. Lord, we don't sit back. We arise. Father, we don't moan. We're not silent. We shout with a voice of triumph. Father, we don't wait until the enemy goes and is scattered, Lord God. We pursue ourselves, Lord God, and drive out the encroaching enemy that's been upon the property of the people of God in Jesus' name. Your people are the praise of the whole earth. We won't give you rest until we see this demonstrated, oh God, in such real, tangible ways. That even the unbeliever, Lord God, would have the secrets of their hearts revealed. Fall on their knees and worship you and report, the Lord is among his people. And Lord, we are your extension, Father, to bring this to pass. And we say a resounding yes and amen, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, bless your people, Lord. Strengthen them. I just break the discouragement, Father. I break the heaviness, Lord. Father, we break those lies and we demolish the strongholds, Father, that have been like a scratch on our record going over and over again. We declare an ending, Lord God, to those desert wanderings in Jesus' mighty name. We make it a spring. We make it a well. Today, command victories for your people in Jesus' name. Father, we also declare that days and weeks ahead, there will be many testimonies of your people here right now and those listening, Lord, to say the Lord brought about great victories. And it'll be something that is a complete and total game changer in every way in Jesus' name. Let's pray this prayer that's up on the screen on your outline right now. Heavenly Father, I am desiring and asking to experience a win. My heart has grown sick with delay, but today I'm encouraged. Command victories for me now, I pray. I shout grace to every mountain of defiance. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you give Jesus a hand clap? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask the altar ministers to come forward and face the people. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, they're going to be here to minister to you. And Pastor Mike, you can just finish this off. We're going to be in the back. We have some product back there. Check it out. Some things on guilt, condemnation, shame, on true value, and one entitled You Are an Original, so you can check it out. They'll be back there. Pastor Mike, would you come forward? Thank you again for the honor. We love you so very much.
Let's give Pastor Sam a big hand. Let's go out this week. Let's put a W in the win column. Amen. Let's be full with the power of Christ. Be blessed. We'll see you next week. We love you, Gateway.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.